If you have your Bible, please stand with me and raise your Bible together. We're going to say, "This is my Bible, the Word of God, is lamp to my path, and lamp to my path. Lord, open my ears to receive it, and prepare my heart to contain it. I submit my will to it as the final authority in my life. Speak now, Lord Jesus, while I listen. Amen." Welcome, everybody. If you are visiting for the first time, special welcome to you. And please feel free to make yourself at home here. And if you'd like to record your visit with us, please fill out the form in front of you and give to one of the elders or anyone here. Our sermon text is taken from Luke chapter 16, and it's about the parable of the shrewd steward. There was a father and a son driving in the highway, and the son gets so hungry, and the father was having compassion on the son, and then he pulled over to McDonald's driveway, and they order some food, and the father was sitting across from the son, and the son was enjoying the French fry full of the plate, and his father was trying to trick his son, and he accidentally immediately picked up one of the fry from his son's pile of fries, and his son got so mad and he smacked his dad's hands. And he said, "Dad, it doesn't belong to you, that's mine," he said. And his father felt so sorry, and he was thinking, "I bought for my son, and I could have given him more if he's nice to him, or I could have taken all those fries." And he was thinking all the way, the rest of the trip, about how ungrateful his son was. And we are going to see what's happened, the same kind of thing happened in our Christian life. Here is the parable of a manager who is managing the affairs, the business affairs of the owner. And we have a steward or a manager, which means someone who takes care of someone else's belongings or possession. So he's not the owner, he's just in charge for a time being. So here, this person who is in charge of the business that was entrusted to him, he did something wrong and there was some problem, and his boss, the owner called him and said, "There's something going on, you are doing something bad, and so you are going to be fired." So he is only limited time, few days left, and he tried to come up with some idea. And finally, this manager decided to do something. And now in verses 3 and 4 we read, the manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. And I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." So he has some ideas. And so he knew two people were owning some things to his boss. So he went to the first lender and he said, "Okay, how much do you owe?" And they made an exchange, and then he said, "Okay, I'll give you 50% discount. So just write down half of it, 50%. So he went to the next one, and he said, "How much do you owe?" Then, "Okay, I'll give you 20% discount. So just write, you only have to pay 80%. So he settled the business with this one. And according to the record here, even though he was dishonest in his previous business dealings, in this case, after he was about to be fired, whatever resources he has in his hand and whatever time remaining he has, he was trying to make use of it and use it for his future benefit. And he was recommended for that. So this is a very difficult parable to interpret for many theologians. And the best way we can understand is that even though this person was dishonest in his previous business dealings, he was doing good. He was managing the rest of the resources with the remaining time that he has to benefit his future. So he was trying to save himself. So what we see here is that this person was recommended, commanded by the owner. In verse 8, we see the master commanded the dishonest manager because he has acted shrewdly. So he was recommended because he tried to use his opportunity to benefit for his future. If you read in these few verses, it says that he will have some friends to welcome him in the future. So he's trying to make some friends with the resources that he has. So in the ancient culture, it is very important that if you do something, some favor to some person, and that person in the future is responsible to help you. So there's a big emphasis in reciprocal giving, I would say. So that's why this person is doing something good to these lenders, so that when he's out of job, these people will help him, or they'll hire him, or they'll help him if he becomes homeless. So that's the idea, and he was commended by the owner and even by Jesus for what he was doing. And that's the lesson that we see here. The lesson is that this person used his resources shrewdly, wisely. Here in verse 8, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. So Jesus is comparing this business manager and the believers, and also he's comparing the people of the world and the children of God. So he's trying to contrast these two things. Obviously, Jesus was trying to get the attention of his audience. So his audience were his disciples and then the Pharisees, so who have love, who love money so much, the Bible says here, and in the later part of the text here. Jesus is trying to show from this worldly experience that whatever you have in this world, if you use it for extending the kingdom of God, to invest it for the benefit of the kingdom of God, that will be commendable. That's what Jesus is trying to say here. So people are very good in dealing with their own secular business. That was true for the time of Jesus, and that is true for today. So if you travel across the United States, you will see McDonald's or Walgreens or different kinds of food chains everywhere. And even if you travel to China, Asia, and Africa, in many parts of the world, you're going to see McDonald's too. And you'll with the modern technology, Facebook is everywhere, in every country, and you see all kinds of communications are available to anybody, pretty much. And I believe it was in 2011 or so, Steve Jobs was holding a palm side of device that no one has seen before, and he said, this is going to be a little computer people will carry, and this will have power. I believe some people calculated the cell phone that we use, they are about 800 times fast, more powerful than the satellite that they they use to go to the moon. That's what I learned from someone. So they're so powerful, and you're going to hold this thing, and it will do. You can take picture, and you can talk to someone, and you can do so many things on this one. So that vision was realized in a couple of years, and now everybody have the cell phone, and we have all the information, and we can connect with everybody. So you see how wise people in expanding their business. And so even if you go to the remote villages, people will be holding iPhone or iPad or this kind of thing. And so that's what Jesus is trying to say here. People are very good in expanding and doing their business. So you should learn that lesson and apply it in your life and make use of whatever you have to benefit for eternity. That's what Jesus is trying to say here. So what our responsibility is to invest our resources wisely to gain eternal friends. That's what it says here. So if you invest your resources wisely, there will be people to welcome you in heaven. Jesus is trying to say that if you use your money or your talents or whatever you have, God has entrusted to you for the kingdom of God and for God's work in the name of God and for God's glory, there will be people who are saved through your resources. The church did some good work yesterday, handing out food, and who knows, some people come to find out who Jesus is through all this goodness. Or there are so many other things that we are doing or that we could do that will lead to the salvation of some souls. And when we get to heaven, we may not even know. Someone will shake our hand. Oh, I've seen you. You are from Holy Nativity. You gave us some food. Or I'm homeless and someone called me in and gave me some food. We never know what we do with our resources. And that's what exactly Jesus is trying to say here. He said in verses 10 to 12, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? So the principle here is faithfulness or trustworthiness, whether it is a small thing or whether it's the great thing, you know. With whatever resource we have, whatever opportunity, whatever wealth, it may be small in the eyes of people, or it may be great. It's not the amount that is important. It is the trustworthiness and what we do with that resources. That is what Jesus is trying to say. If we are faithful in the little thing that we have here, or in the much abundance of things that we have here, if we are faithful in using it for the kingdom of God, and there will be rewards for us in heaven, and there will be people who goes to heaven because of our resources, because of using our resources, and we'll be rewarded for it. So what we do here is very important, and what we do with our resources is very important. As Christians, we are familiar with like giving a tithe, the 10%, at least the 10% of what we have or our income to give to the church. That is true. But God is also interested in the 90%. Not only the 10%, God is telling us, how do you use the 90%? In what way do you use? Do you use it only for your earthly benefit, just to, for your food or just for your enjoyment alone? Or do you use them for the gospel? Do you use them for the kingdom of God? That is the big question that we should be asking each other today. So no matter how much we have, it is not the amount. It is the faithfulness which is important. And God is not going to ask us, oh, you have so little and I'm going to require little, or you have so much and not about the amount, but how do we use our resources here will tell what we get in heaven. Which means if you and I believe Jesus as our Savior, we are going to be saved and we're going to go to heaven. But as far as rewards and as far as bringing people to heaven, it has to do with what we do with our resources. And the Bible say there will be rewards and there will be some kinds of position even in heaven that believers are going to have. So if that's what Jesus is trying to say, if we are faithful with the earthly thing and make good use of it for eternal purpose, there may be position that we are going to get in heaven. And that's what Jesus and his disciple were discussing. John's or somebody's mom asked, oh, can you have my kids sit next to you? And Jesus said, it's not my authority to give to you. So it's what we do, what we invest for eternal purpose that will give us position or reward us in when we get to heaven. So probably if you are like me, most of us would think, oh, I could barely pay my monthly bill. What are you talking about? So maybe if we look at the widow who came to give in the temple in front of Jesus, and she gave all she has, and it's two pieces of silver coin that she put in the offering. And Jesus said, many people give a lot out of their abundance, but this widow has given all. She has given sacrificially. So that's the kind of thing that we're talking about, giving sacrificially. Beyond our means, sometimes we have to give beyond our means. That's when God can work, you know. If we only give it within our means, that means it probably the account will be balanced accordingly, you know. But when we give beyond our ability, that's when we're going to see God's ability to fill in the gap, and where we give sacrificially. That's what we're going to see. Maybe we don't see it here physically. Maybe we'll see it in heaven when we give sacrificially. That's what we are going to see when we get to heaven. And there will be a record of what we do with the resources that we have. So what kind of resources and what kind of responsibility we're talking about as Christian today? I would say God has entrusted to us possessions and money and all various sort. And so whatever we have, God wants us to use it for his kingdom. Kerry Tin Boone said, "The measure of life, after all, is not its duration, but its donation," she said. So what do you have? How do you use? Do you use it for the kingdom of God? And what about the people in our life, the people God entrusted in our life? If we are a leader in a secular world or in a ministry setting, how do we invest our position and our ability to expand the kingdom of God? So Jesus said, "To whom much is given, much will be required." If you have little responsibility, your requirement will be less. If you have big responsibility, there will be more responsibility being asked from you. So that is what we are seeing here from these verses. Are there people in our life that we invest for eternity? It could be our spouses, it could be our children, it could be our relative, it could be our employees, maybe our fellow members, maybe our co-workers, maybe our acquaintances that we come across. Do we invest in a way that will benefit, that will get recorded in heaven before we get there? What about the time God has given us? We have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 30 or 31 days a month. How do we use our time? Do we use it all for our own benefit, just for our family, or just our own benefit, or do we even invest those time for eternity benefits? What about talents that we have? What we can do, what we can help with our talents in the church, outside the church, or wherever God places, are we developing them for eternity purposes, through which people will get saved and through which there will be people welcoming us someday? What about our position? As we talk about it, what about the power or the privileges that we have in our life? It could be in a secular world. It could be in a ministry setting. How do we use them? So it is possible to do ministry with good intention in the wrong way. And it's also possible the other way, you know. You have good intention, but you are doing it not right, not the right way, and it could be the other way. And how do we use it? How do we use the privileges and the opportunity that are given and entrusted to us on this earth, which people may not have? What do we do with the steward of the gospel? Timothy was a young man, and Paul said, "Timothy, your sincere faith, which was found from your grandmother, the grandmother which was passed down from your grandmother to your mother and to you, which I find that is through the teaching of the Word of God." So you see, the grandma took the responsibility, and then the mom took the responsibility, and Timothy, he became a minister, and through which many people will be in heaven. So what do we do with the the gospel that is entrusted to every one of us. John Wesley was doing personal evangelism, and he was so excited, and he talked to everybody he met on the street, and he would be like confrontational in today's world. And some lady or someone or some believer said, I don't really like the way you do evangelism, she said. And John Wesley thought a little bit, and then he said, ma'am, how do you do evangelism? Can you tell me so I can learn from you? And she said, I don't really do it. Then Wesley said, I like my way better than your way not doing anything. So do we do? We see this man, he was unfaithful. He was dishonest with his resources. But at least he was given the last chance, and he made use of the last resources under his care and the time that he has, and he may use it for his future benefit. The same way we may be having weaknesses and failures, and we are not all perfect people. But whatever we can do, you know, if we use it, maybe it's not even the right method, but God could still use it, and it could account for eternity benefits. So whatever God has entrusted to us, that is our responsibility. One lady, an elderly lady, was followed by IRS because she donated so much and she claimed so much in her tax return. And they found out that her income was only about $8,000. And this is a real story. So the IRS people came to her house and they inquired about it. So she went to the attic and pulled out the cancel check. One by one, they check it, and she wrote the check to her church every month. And then she gave to the televangelists, which are no longer today. And she even wrote to the radio preachers and in various places. And she deducted more than 30% of her income. And with her 8,000 income, she still survived. And we can see that how much she invests and how she, you know, she used the resources, the wealth that God has given her. She's not rich, you know. She was probably, you know, the average bread earner, probably 30,000 today in today value. Probably she made about 30,000 a year or so. So it's not how much we made; it is how we use it. So sometimes it happens in many other places. I'm not sure here, but sometimes people have limited incomes, but the expense are more, and they bought things that they are not able to afford, and so that's why, you know, the life is running in cycle with the credit card and the monthly payment. And so, like this lady, if we use our resources wisely, there might be some adjustment that we can do in our purchasing and, you know, in our expenses, so that those things could go to the gospel or to the eternal investment. And that way, whether we have little or we have much, they will be accounted for eternity. There was a teenage boy from Italy, and he only had his clothes on. That's all he brought when he came to the United States. He was befriended by a Christian couple, and he finally came to the church, and he was witness, and he became a Christian. And so one day, he was praying. He said, Lord, if you give me an idea for a business, I will be faithful to give a portion of everything I made back to your work, he said. The next day, he got an idea. And he got the idea of fresh squeezed orange juices. How to make that orange juices. So when we go to Giant and this grocery store, we see the orange juices made from Tropicana orange juice. You're familiar with that? He is the owner of that company. And he gave not only 10%, he gave 50% of his income for the past 60 years. And God bless him. It's because of two couple. They befriended him. He was a student, or probably he was a newcomer, and he probably didn't have family. So with a simple hospitality of investment of time and investment of relationship to one person, the ministry is expanded. So this business owner, he gave so many truckloads of juices to Bible school throughout the country, beside his 50% of income given to the ministry. So what do we have in our hand? What does the Lord has entrusted to us? It may be small, it may be big, it may be medium-sized, but God is interested in how we use it. And whatever is done in the name of the Lord and for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God will be recorded in heaven. And everything else that we use for our selfish and for our fleshly need will stay here, and we'll leave all those things behind. But whatever we use for the kingdom of God and for the benefit of the kingdom out there will be recorded, and there will be people welcoming us. There will be position waiting for us. There will be rewards waiting for us. What do we use with our resources? May the Lord help us to invest our temporal wealth to accrue eternal wealth. Amen. Thank you.